Well, the title this morning, A Life of Privilege. And if I was to ask you who you believe to be the most privileged people that you know, heard of in this world, you may possibly say somebody like Elon Musk. He's the guy who owns Tesla, the first fully electric car. Many have followed since, but he was the first there. If you're a Twitter user, you know he now owns at least part of it, if not all of it, and that's been renamed as X. I don't use that at all. Also, if you watch the television, you may see that he's very heavily into what he might call at the moment space travel through SpaceX. Everything with Elon Musk seems to be something with an X on the end of it. He's had as many dramatic failures as he had dramatic victories with that. He's worth a staggering, well, yeah, I'll come back to that worth a little later on. He has $250 billion. That's how much he has. 250 billion United States dollars. Another name you might think up or think of is Bill Gates. He is the founder of Microsoft. He's one of the ones who you might want to blame for when you try to start your computer up or close it down and you get those annoying updates. That's what went wrong with our service this morning to start with. Zoom has been updated. It's called a different name now. It's still Zoom, but it comes under a different title within that. And that caused a problem that I wasn't really unaware of. His net worth, I'll say again, is $135 billion. These are mind-blowing figures, aren't they? 250 billion, 135 billion. What about some people that are a little bit closer to home? If you're a footballer, especially if you're a Manchester United fan, I know one or two of you will be sitting up at the moment. The name Sir Jim Ratcliffe will not have escaped your notice, because he part owns Manchester United Football Club. If you're not quite so much into football as I'm not, and you're more into Formula One, which I am, and Jackie is, you will know his name or the name of one of his companies, INEOS, is on the side of some Formula One cars, Mercedes in particular. It's a petrochemical firm, and but yeah, many wider things than that. He's supposed to be worth, and I'll keep using that word, come back to it later, 30 billion. Now, I'm not sure if that's pounds or dollars because the internet didn't tell me that bit. That makes a bit of difference, but 30 billion of whatever is still an enormous amount of money. If you've not heard of any of those, then you almost definitely will have heard Sir Richard Branson. He is amassed a fortune of 4 billion United States dollars. Come on, Richard, what are you thinking of? You've fallen so far behind. You need to do something about this to build that up again, to get back into that league again. He's not doing too badly, is he? He's had his own full-size train set at one point that he's now sold off, which added to some of his billions, I'm sure. Virgin Trains, like Musk. He's quite heavily into space travel and he's quite an adventurer himself. And he's had as many failures as he's had victories with those enterprises. He owns his own island out in the Caribbean. And if you've got enough money, you can hire it, go on holiday there if you want to. But when it all gets too much for him, he's got a bit of a bolt hole to go to, hasn't he? This island in the Caribbean. I'm sure they're largely respected and no doubt hard-working people. What about our own King Charles? Can't have failed to notice him, can you, and know his name? Privileged, yeah. Some might turn around and say, too privileged, along with the rest of his family. I haven't been not one of those. I believe certainly his mum, the late Queen, worked really hard I'm sure he would like to. We saw it before he got ill. But would I really want his lifestyle? Would I really want the lifestyle of any of these? Always having somebody wanting you to be at their beck and call. Partly why the reason why Jackie and I don't own a mobile phone. Because when I go out, I want to be alone. I know these people that are in people's beck and call the whole time. So is it so privileged as what we might think they are because the amount of money they've got, that worth that we talked about? He does have the privilege, of course, of natural ascension to the throne. He expected it and has done all of his life. Only the Queen, still being alive, prevented her son from taking that position he now occupies. But after him, if anything happened to him, and at some time or other it will, William is behind there. He was in William's brother Harry with his song Spare. But that the heir and the spare. But are they truly privileged? Are they as privileged as you and me? Are they as privileged as you and me? Conversely to how King Charles has lived his life, and perhaps how William is waiting to move up into his place at the right time. As far as family concerned, probably the wrong time, actually. But for us, continue that monarchy at the right time. Conversely, it was death and the resurrection of God's only son. No second choice, no heir and spare. Jesus alone that allowed us to be adopted, not born, not like the king or any future king that may come later on, not born into that position, but adopted into it. So often you hear, and I know that anybody here is adopted or not, but a lot of adopted parents will turn around and say, when it comes to the point when perhaps an adopted child wants to know about their birth parents, that causes them problems. But quite often the adoptive parents will turn around and say, but we chose you. We chose you. We heard Sue reading in that God has chosen us. He's chosen us into his family. It was by choice. And it was his pleasure and his will. Verse 4 of that reading. His pleasure and his will. To be called chosen, predestined, adopted by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What a privilege. What a privilege. Jackie and I, in some of our conversations, have been thinking about the question, why me? Not why do I go through tough times, and we have, some of you are going through much tougher times, but why are we chosen by God? Especially others as we love and desire to also be chosen, do not seem to be. To the point that God, and we pray into this, of course we do, perhaps to the point of God. And us thinking he's just not listening. Our prayers just don't seem to be answered for our loved ones, ones around us. I know from conversations amongst us, many of you have had that conversation either with each other or with yourself in your minds. And if you're expecting me to answer that question, you're going to be disappointed. Others, much more clever than me, have tried, but none seem to quite hit the mark. And there's so many different thoughts about predestination, etc. Sometimes we just have to accept the things we do not understand. It is just God's will, and we should not question it. Somebody mentioned last week, think it was either, I think it was after the service. Somebody was talking about Job, and it came from a comment from somebody else. And how his friends let him down, and he, they were no help to him at all. And towards the end of the story of Job, he goes back to God and he asks why. Why have all these things happened to me? And to cut a much longer story short, God turns around and says, "Where were you? Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that? Where were you when I created this?" God doesn't mind us asking the questions, doesn't always give us the answers, especially those that we want or expect. Sometimes we just have to accept it's His will. Until God says otherwise, you know that the sun will shine to one degree or another. Only look at it yesterday, out in an absolute baking heat. Today, it's raining. Or was earlier. Every day, if it doesn't, the sun doesn't shine, we're in trouble. Or are we? Revelation, the book of Revelation, tells us that one day there will not be the need for the sun, moon, or the stars, all those things that Jesus was there when God created them. As God Himself will be our light, shining in and from the New Jerusalem. In the meantime, the sun does shine. We don't cause it to, nor have we ever, but every day it's there. We just accept that it is so. The day follows night. But God does know why it's there every day. He created it for a purpose. That we may thrive in His goodness. Just because we do not like it or accept it does not make the difference to that existence. And so it is with our chosenness, those words that Sue read to us start, our chosenness, our election, our adoption. I suppose I do need to. Just step a little bit into predestination, but these are just my thoughts on that for you to accept or to look into yourselves. Do you believe there is God's general rule? And we see that in 2 Peter 3 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you. And this important one, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come. To repentance, not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But there is that's God's general heart for us. That's what He wants for the world. That's what He wants for everyone that He's created upon it. Those that have gone before, those to come, those now. But I believe there is also God's sovereign rule because He is righteous, because He's holy, because He's loving. John 3:16, you know it so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. That whoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. And somewhere else in the Bible, it talks about in this present time, having it in abundance as well. Steve last week was talking about this in a way, he didn't use the word privilege. He did talk about blessings being squashed down, shaken up, down hard into something. That's how much God wants to bless us. That's the privilege that we live in. Not like James Bond, who might say shaken, not stirred. God says shaken down, patted down, lavished, ladled on. We are conformed to be conformed to the likeness. Of the sun. And we'll be thinking about that a little bit more next week. But many resist. And I suppose that's part of that predestination part. Probably God knows those that may resist his call. It is that resistance of belief that God foreknows and warns against. Well, I said just now, that predestination that causes, and so many before us, and perhaps so many in the future, have caused them so many headaches trying to get their head around it. But something perhaps we just need to accept. But there are warnings in the Bible, warnings against unbelief. And in Hebrews 3, verse 15, it says this, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me. Though for 40 years, they saw what I did. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And that's part of what we'll be saying next week as well. Bring back to us. What about the Old Testament, though? I've heard that said as well. Okay, that's okay for us. We've got Jesus, we know about him, we read about him, we have the Gospels. What about the Old Testament? They didn't. They didn't have Jesus, no. But there was knowledge and there was faith. Jesus said in John's Gospel himself, Moses wrote about me. And if you don't believe him, how will you believe in me? They knew that a Messiah, a Saviour, was promised and would come. And they didn't know how or when or even what form he would take. Would he be a king? Would he be a warrior? He turned out to be something completely different. He was a king. He was different to a warrior. Not what they expected. Or not what we would have expected, even in their place. But they trusted the promises of God. Abraham, Moses, Elijah, other prophets and psalmists. The righteousness of belief that God is good and his promise is certain. Just read the list of faithful people in Hebrews. Back to Hebrews. I love Hebrews. One of my favorite books. By faith, Abel brought a more righteous offering than his brother Cain. Though he paid for it, didn't he, in a way? But it's counted to him as righteousness. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Sarah received. I didn't want to leave any of the ladies out of this, by any means. By faith, Sarah received what seemed to be impossible. And it goes on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Read it for yourselves. You can. They accepted in faith before they fully knew. One day we will know. This time is not that time at the moment. We know what we read, what we see in the Bible, what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, things God has prepared for those who love him. The thing God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Went back to Hebrews again. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, this is verse 10, sorry, chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings. You are not pleased. Perhaps that will be something we talk about next week as well. Of course, there was his physical body, a body that had been prepared for him. There was his physical body. There's the one that the Magi visited, the one that shepherds visited. And you've got two ends of society there. Magi, these very clever, kingly people, and the shepherds, the lowest of society. You've also got his body, the church. That part of what we are now, this church, predestined to be part of his body. So it leads me now to think about some of these words that they just jangle about in my heads a little bit sometimes, but it's interesting when you delve into them a little bit more. Predestined. Some Bibles say predestinated. The Greek word for that, I'm sorry, I'm going to throw some words at you here. I do apologize for the Greek, but it opened up some things for me when I thought about these. Greek word for predestined is prorizo, which means to decide or decided beforehand. And it's a word linked to some time ago, ahead or on ahead. On ahead, thinking ahead by God, thinking ahead. This is what I want to do. Chosen. Greek word for that is eklektos, which means elect, chosen one. That's where we have that link with Jesus, to Jesus. Chosen to be like him. There's another word, eklogi, meaning choice or selection. Know that calling that Sue read to us earlier. Klesis. Call you to, listen to this, call you to a new situation, a new station in life. And that calling is to be received. And it's closely linked to another word called kletos, which is called to be invited. Call you to a new situation, station in life. You have to receive that calling. You have to receive that invitation to come. This is the Lord calling you. He's calling you to a new position in life. A position of blessing instead of curse. That curse being of sin. But you've received it. And you have to respond to that invitation. You receive the invitation, but it's no good just pushing it to one side, one arm on the shelf somewhere. You have to accept it. It's an RSVP, if you like. And it's to a party, it's to a banquet. Some missed out on a banquet. Some were called, some didn't go. Some just totally refused to. There's a call to a plan, to a party, a banquet prepared by the Lord himself. Would you not want to go to that? The very best of everything, everything that Jesus can give you, and you would not go? Why would you not? God's election is not by ink or pencil on a piece of paper. It's not counted by someone in a big hall somewhere. Just as we've seen recently, we're about to see in America, that it was decided, even as the Holy Spirit brooded over the formless mass that we read about in Genesis, the first few lines of it. Even as the Holy Spirit brooded over the formless mass, we were chosen. Again, that's in verse 4 of what we read earlier, I had read to us. We've been given a choice within a gift of free will to follow the Lord or face the consequences. And there are consequences. I'm sure we're all well aware of that. Back to that word election again. Jesus said these words in John 18, verse 9, "I've not lost one of those you have given me. I've not lost one of those you have given me." He said directly more to his disciples to become apostles. He says that to us as well. I was thinking about this and that baby story that we have at Christmas so much, where we tend to leave Jesus sometimes, which may think, yeah, he's wrapped us up, isn't he? He's wrapped us up. God has wrapped us up as a Christmas present in Christmas paper and said, "Here, my son, these are yours. These are for you. All those you have given me." Hebrews 10 again said, "A body prepared for me." Jesus said those words, "A body prepared for me." Katatizo is the word. And that means to restore us, this body, this church that we are part of, to restore, to put in order, to make complete, and to equip to train, to prepare, and to ordain. It's been ordained. It's God's will that we should be part of the body of Christ. And that's to aim to perfection and to be perfectly united in love. Christ's body, the church. And again, something we might be thinking about next week a bit more. Romans 8, verse 20, 29. God's gifts and calling are irrevocable. I'm going to try and pronounce the Greek word for this, and I think I'm going to fail. I think it's hematamalitos. Hematamalitos. And that means given. And that givenness to us, that calling that we receive, is without regret. That's what that word means. Hematamalitos means without regret. One of the saddest words in the Bible is, and that's from the story of Noah in Genesis 6, verse 6. He regretted he placed them on the earth, and that was creation. There's only Noah to be saved and his family, and certain members of his family. He regretted he placed them on the earth. In that word, that Greek word, it says he has no regrets about the church. He has no regrets about you and calling you to his son's body. He has no regrets calling you to it, in fact, ordaining it. Do you feel privileged? You should, because that's what you are. You're more privileged than any of you, more privileged than right from Elon Musk, right through to the King, King Charles III. You are more privileged. It doesn't matter how much money they've got, God is more. You are privileged. We need to live in that place of privilege. We'll touch on that again next week. Let's just pray.